From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 19th day of March 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, U.S. and Chinese negotiators have agreed to open that nation to U.S. pork exports. And a pair of U.S. senators are proposing an overhaul of the federal immigration laws. Dave Dickey will have these details in a moment. And then I'll tell you how the soybean checkoff dollars are helping to commercialize aphid-resistant soybean germplasm from the University of Illinois. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Friday afternoon. Futures in the May wheat at 483 and three quarters, down 5.5 cents, with a soft red July harvest month at 496 and a half, down 5.25, and the September at 511 and a half, down 5.75 in Kansas City. The hard red finished the July at 503, down 2.75. Soy complex now, actually corn pit, 374 and a half, down a penny and a half. July at 385 and a half, down 1.5. September at 394, down 2.25. December corn at 403.5, down 1.75, and the March contract at 414.5, down a penny and three quarters. Wanted to get to the soy complex because it was a gainer on the day. Here it is. May futures 961.75, up 2.25. July at 969.5, up 2. The August at $9.66, up 2.25 for the day. And September soybean futures $9.52, a settlement price up 3.25. November contract at 942, the settlement there up 2 cents on the afternoon. And the January soybeans finished the day for the 2011 contract at 950.25, up 2 cents. The March at 957.75, up 2.25. Now the rest of the complex in the products, the bean meal finished at 270.20 in the May, up 30 cents. July up a dollar at 269.50. May bean oil at 39.30, up 5 cents, as was the July. It settled at $39.73. A live cattle April contract 97.97 and a half, 45 cents higher. The Junes, though, were down a nickel at 95.12 and a half. March feeders at 104.80, 17 and a half higher. And April lean hogs at 73.35, up 47 and a half cents on a Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, April contract, $80.68, down $1.52 a barrel. April ethanol at $1.56 and a half, down a penny and 3 tenths. Natural gas up 0.8 of a cent at $4.16 and 6 tenths. And the RBOB at $2.25 and 2 tenths, down 4 and 8 tenths. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 4 and 4 tenths lower at $2.07 and 4 tenths at this hour. And the gold futures at $1,170.40 an ounce on a Friday, settled down $20. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down just about 52 points at 10,726, and the U.S. dollar at 80.72 is up 0.49. The CRB index on the afternoon at 272.63, down 3.05, and the Goldman Sachs at 520.97, down 8.42 points on the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the Tuesday region looks like. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, he says tonight in northwestern Illinois, cloudy skies, some rain quickly changing to snow. That's right, snow in northwestern Illinois. Elsewhere in the north and west central parts of Illinois, cloudy, some scattered rain showers. That'll mix with sleet and wet snow late. Elsewhere in central sections, increasing cloudiness. In the south, clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 28 in far northwestern Illinois to 46 in the south. And then tomorrow in northwestern and north central and west central Illinois, cloudy, some snow. In northeastern Illinois and northern Indiana, cloudy, rain and snow. Elsewhere, cloudy, some scattered rain showers. High, says Ed, tomorrow will range from 34 in northwestern Illinois to a 67 in the far southern part of Indiana. The extended forecast says on Sunday and Sunday night, widespread rain is likely. Some amounts may be heavy in the Ohio Valley, and some of the rain may mix with snow in the Ohio Valley on Sunday. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. And we talk with state climatologist Jim Angel right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the 2 o'clock report that was out from USDA. Their release was for the cattle on feed, and it now shows on feed as of March 1 at 97%. That's close to the average guess and certainly within the range. 97 was the February estimate as well. Placements at 99, that's within the range. Marketing's at 102, and that's dead on the average guess for the range. So I suppose that means that there's not much to see in that report this afternoon.
Not much in the numbers. We've still got about 10.86 million head on feed as of March 1. I do think, though, Todd, this may be a buy-the-rumor, sell-the-fact type market if the hogs don't return to the upper edge and return to a bullish mindset early next week. We've got a gap in April feeders at around the 106.45 level, and I'm guessing that with this strength we've seen here the last week and a half in the feeders and the fats, that maybe we were putting in a bullish report with the on-feed number at the top. Like you say, it's at the average estimate, but the top estimate was 97.3, so the average wasn't much different than the top. I'm wondering whether we might see a little bit of long liquidation and profit-taking next week and that gap get filled.
That marketplace has been awfully good for quite some time. I suppose it's not all that unexpected for maybe it to start to turn?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think that we're still in an uptrend, but I think in the uptrend, in any good uptrend, you want to have corrections that, you know, tends to bring more new longs back into the market, so you're not overweight in one side or the other. You want a nice steady incline in price, and that includes corrections. So I guess that's what I'm kind of going into the middle of next week with the bias.
Right. Do you see corrections in the grains and the oil seeds coming this week? Just on the weekly trade, beans were up 36 cents, corn up a dime.
I really like the way we closed Friday, considering the outside market pressure. I didn't like so much the wheat and how it closed, so I'm going to give wheat the old standby leader to the downside tag that it probably hates, but I think that the fact that July wheat closed only 5 cents from its February low of 491, and that's just today it closed there, only a nickel from that February low, I think that's a pretty crucial level we need to hold here still, Todd. And if we don't, then you really don't have much support until you go all the way back to the contract low, just a little under 485, right around that 483 and three quarter level. So I'm a little bit nervous about the wheat. I always am, though. But I did like the way the beans closed, and we still have a wet 6 to 10 day forecast in the beans. Interesting to see the November beans closed above their 50-day moving average for the first time since January 16th. And the nice thing about it was led by the front end. So if we don't see the dollar continue its move higher, and that doesn't in turn force the wheat lower into some really bad technical areas that would maybe push out commodity index funds from wanting to keep continuing to buy in the grains as a whole, then I think the early part of next week should be pretty good on corn and beans, especially with the weather and the way we close today.
If it is good, are you a seller?
Yeah, I think we have to be at this point because we are getting back to profitable levels. And, you know, like I said to Dave earlier this morning, it doesn't make me feel very good that we have the dollar rallying. It doesn't make me feel very good that we've got gas prices at the pump at the highest level since October 2008. We're going to see some higher taxes. We're going to see some higher interest rates. I think if we get back to that 411 level in the Dease corn, that 948 level in the Nov beans, I'm going to be pushing and recommending pushing more 2010 hedges out the door, especially before that March 31st acreage report and grain stocks report.
Let's take up some of those things. Crude oil at $80 a barrel, is that a good place for it? And where do you think it'll go from here? And I ask, of course, because corn and ethanol are tied sometimes, depending on what the ratio is, but sometimes pretty directly to the price of crude oil.
Yeah, right. It's a great point. And right now, when you look at the RBOB spread and minus the unleaded RBOB unleaded gas spread minus the ethanol spread at the Chicago Board of Trade, You're looking at some really healthy refining margins right now. And so if you're going to go ahead and want to step up on the ethanol blending, you would do that. But unfortunately, as USDA showed us in their feed outlook last week after the report, they had a very nice chart of the blending wall and the visual depiction of that blending wall that we have. And I think the bottom line for the unleaded and the crude oil and the relationship with corn is that they've divorced themselves a little bit until we get a higher blending rate, backed by Congress. So my mindset is that $80 crude does more damage, and $2.75 gas does more damage to the overall economy and people that are still suffering from high unemployment than it helps the grain demand side of the equation.
All right. So what do you see then as we look out a little further? And I guess maybe you could take it up in three contexts. This week we talked about logistical problems with soybeans coming out of South America, although that's fairly common.
Right.
And then we talked about the dollar quite a little bit. And we've got, I guess, wet weather, relatively speaking, although we're not into really what we call a weather market here in the U.S. And then there is the big one, which is the acreage report, which is due out at the end of the month.
Yeah, and number four would be China. And I think it goes back to the Beef House meeting and trying to lay out a similar timeline of price action and similar seasonality in price action. For me, I think it's a lot more like 1980. And those things you just reeled off there, the weather, China, the other things that you reeled off, it would suggest to me that if you're going to have commodity index fund buying, like we saw some this week, on what looks to be very bearish fundamentals, especially supply fundamentals after that USDA report, the commodity indexes will come in earlier rather than later, because if we're going to have inflation, they would theoretically want to be buying it earlier in the year with the idea that the inflation will show up later in the year. So to me, I think this is a lot like 1980 in terms of how we should hedge it. Sell it for profit, hedge the early time period, expect a seasonal high in this March, early April time period. Obviously, weather's going to dictate when that high comes in, but then I think once we safely get planted, then we have a situation where the little bit of a downdraft happens and we go down lower into the May-June time period. And unless we have inflation, unless we have something bullish like a Chinese currency reevaluation or something like that, then it's going to be hard to build back enough steam to get back to those springtime highs. And at that point in time, too, you can say to yourself, okay, June, July, I've got the crop insurance protecting me on the downside. If I come back in and defend myself on the upside, then I can go into the fall and not have to worry so much about losing that profit I've locked in.
Mike, thanks so much for being with us today.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too,
Mike. Enjoy the snow.
Oh, we'll try. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hey, have you visited our website lately? Please do if you haven't. You'll find all kinds of great stuff there, including all of our daily agricultural programming. You can listen to it directly from the website, download it, and put it on your iPod if you want. And speaking of which, you can sign up to have it delivered as a podcast. There's a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. That's over on the right-hand side of the page. And there's also a link to our All Day Ag Outlook event there, too. You can listen to everything that happened, including the John Bondurant panel. Speaking of which, he'll be on Commodity Week. We'll air that tomorrow on many of these radio stations, and it'll be up on willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, U.S. and Chinese negotiators reached an agreement yesterday that will allow U.S. exporters to once again begin shipping pork to China. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, "This resolution is excellent news for American hog producers." The USDA and U.S. Trade Representative officials have been in talks in Beijing with their Chinese counterparts this week to try to resolve differences that have held up the resumption in trade. China banned U.S. pork last year because of concerns about the H1N1 influenza. Senators Charles Schumer and Lindsey Graham have released details of a proposed overhaul of the country's immigration laws. The lawmakers' plan would involve toughening measures to ensure that illegal immigrants cannot work in the U.S. and providing additional resources to border security, while also establishing a pathway to legal residence for the 12 million illegal immigrants already in the country. Biometric Social Security cards would become mandatory to crack down on illegal workers. Illegal residents would be allowed to move toward legal residency if they agree to pay a fine and any back taxes they owe and perform community service. U.S. bank regulator Sheila Blair says she has, quote, serious concerns that the Senate Financial Reform Bill allows for backdoor bailouts of the largest financial firms. Blair, speaking to a community of bankers today, says the draft bill seems to allow such rescues through the Federal Reserve's Emergency Lending Facility. The Senate Banking Committee, chaired by Democrat Christopher Dodd, is scheduled to begin debating and amending its financial reform bill on Monday. Statistics Canada today says that Canadians buying home renovation supplies to take advantage of a temporary tax credit helped boost retail sales by 0.7% in January, for a 6% year-on-year increase. Auto sales fell 1.5%. Retail sales excluding vehicles and vehicle parts rose 1.8% in January and 5.5% compared with a year earlier. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find online with other agricultural programming anytime you'd like. You can listen to it 24 hours a day. It's at willag.org. That second program, Commodity Week, is our premier look at the agricultural futures markets. The guest this week will be John Bondurant in Memphis, Tennessee. If you didn't get a chance to see him in person at our all-day Ag Outlook, be sure to listen in either on the radio station or at willag.org. We'll post it up to the website by about 6 o'clock this evening. Well, up next, you know, the publicly funded soybean breeding program at the University of Illinois has developed and released several new aphid-resistant varieties. I'll have a report on their commercialization. Land-grant universities have long had a hand in the development of new crop varieties. Soybeans, particularly, were a mainstay of the system. There are many public varieties of soybeans. Some are very old names that many farmers will recognize. Williams, for instance, here in the Midwest. Because these soybean varieties were developed in the public sector, farmers could hold them back from one year to the next for seed. That brown bag or bin run system has faded in the last couple of decades, but the development of public varieties has not, says Brian Deers. He's a soybean plant breeder at the University of Illinois and has released several new varieties over recent years.
The last couple of years, we've released several varieties that we're pretty excited about. These varieties are being released not publicly, but they're being released through some seed companies. What we're excited about is that these varieties have SCN resistance. We also have varieties with SDS resistance as well as soybean aphid resistance.
Deers and his colleagues at Illinois have done a great deal of work looking for genetic resistance to the soybean aphid as well as SCN, a soybean cyst nematode, and SDS, a sudden death syndrome. The source of the aphid resistance comes from one of those old public varieties. It was originally developed in the southern U.S. Beyond the genetic codes behind the new releases, what really differentiates them from the public varieties of the past is that these beans are not really public varieties. Seed companies will sell them as branded products. The only way for a farmer or someone else to know it was developed, for instance, at Illinois, will be to know to look for the genetic makeup. The Illinois soybean aphid resistance is imparted by a genetic code called RAG1, or RAG1. Says Deers.
Yeah, so one thing you could look at is what gene the variety has. So the two genes that we have been working on are called RAG1 and RAG2, or RAG1 and RAG2. So I guess you could ask about what gene your variety has for aphid resistance.
RAG 1 is in the grow-out process now and likely available for limited use. RAG 2 won't be around for a couple of years. Deere says while these varieties won't be public releases, it should be possible to hold them back for bin run plantings. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Bates Commodities, the Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investments, and L&M Commodities. Thank you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. On the line with us this afternoon on a Friday to take a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. They operate 10 elevators across eastern and central part of Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me, so how far into the end of last year's harvest season do you think you might be at this point as compared to previous years?
Into the end of...
Yeah, so where are you now as you would normally be compared to previous years?
Is well, we're done harvesting, but we're not done drying corn. How's that?
Well, that's what I really mean.
Paxton had a decent day. We'll have a 100-truck day today at Paxton, which isn't too bad considering the roads are posted. So you got to be selective where it's coming out of. The corn coming in off farm is falling in two batches. There is the dry corn, which is 16% to 17%, which isn't going very far with using as any blending capability. And there's another batch coming in 20-21%.
And what are you doing with that?
We are drying it.
So it's coming in and you're drying it, and is it in good condition?
Generally, I mean, there's some we see some problems. It's sporadic. I haven't seen a surge of bad corn. I hope that's not just sitting in a bin that somebody hasn't checked. But people were really aggressive. I think my customers were in general on coring stuff early. We had a lot of stuff come in January or February. And we're mentioning to people that go out and core bins and get that, and that'll make your air more effective. You have to worry about it, though, corn, that is that wet, and we're going to be, or we're 60 degrees today, and we're hitting spring when corn wants to start growing.
Yeah, so you think they'll need to go back out and core it again if they're going to, even if they're going to hold it?
If they're going to hold it, and basically corn that wet is just not going to hold. That stuff needs to get moved.
So they're going to have to do a whole lot of work probably between now and the time they start really doing work in the field then.
Yeah, haul it or dry it, and you know, with the roads and the weather next week, that's not going to help us a whole lot in getting it hauled.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at 351 on nearby corn, 371 noon crop, 944 and 902 on the beans.
On corn, has basis been holding up?
In general, it has been up until today, and we saw a little bit of basis erosion on the corn side today.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on a Friday afternoon. In just a couple of minutes, we'll talk with Jim. Let's see, who will we talk to? Steve Hilberg is not here, so we'll talk with the state climatologist this afternoon, Jim Angel, at the Illinois State Water Survey about the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A Chicago man has been sentenced to 60 years in prison for his role in a 2007 crime spree in Illinois that left a sheriff's deputy dead and ended after a hostage standoff. Macon County Judge Tim Stedman sentenced 26-year-old Yusuf Kareem Brown today in Decatur. Brown pleaded guilty last September to home invasion and aggravated kidnapping. The June 21, 2007 crimes included the shooting death of Douglas County Sheriff's Deputy Tommy Martin and ended at a bank in Arcola. Another Chicago man, 29-year-old William Thompson, was sentenced last year to life in prison. He pleaded guilty to murder and Martin's death. The list of people interested in becoming the Democratic nominee for Illinois Lieutenant Governor just keeps growing. The latest name is Susan Garrett, a state senator from the Chicago suburb of Lake Forest. Garrett has spoken to Governor Pat Quinn about applying, but she said that Quinn did not make any promises. A person familiar with the selection process confirms Quinn is considering Garrett, among others. The person was not authorized to discuss Quinn's decision-making publicly and would speak only on condition of anonymity. At least 200 people are applying. The position was left open when original nominee Scott Lee Cohen withdrew. The Democratic Central Committee will hear from the applicants tomorrow and make a choice next week. While the Fighting Illini missed the cut in the NCAA tournament, the University of Illinois college basketball program is ranked among the most valuable, according to a study by Forbes magazine. Reporter Peter Schwartz says much of his study relates to how much money a team can generate for its conference, as well as the success of the team. His study shows that the Illinois athletic department is able to keep costs down, generate a lot of revenue for so-called non-revenue sports like tennis and volleyball, and generate season ticket donations of $4.2 million. More than $1 million in grants will enable Parkland College to increase efficiency for hospital workers, industry, and highway road construction. Some of those funds will help the staffs of four area hospitals save time through what's called lean healthcare training, a kind of management philosophy for 1,300 workers. Meanwhile, a similar strategy will be used to help more than 300 workers at employers like Kraft, Horizon Hobby, and Flexengate. Other dollars are coming through Illinois' Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. And state transportation funds will help women and minority participation in road projects.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. It is a production of Illinois Public Medium. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and serves as the state climatologist. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
As a climatologist, tell me about this outlook that we've had this week. How unusual is it to have 67, close to 70-degree weather in parts of Illinois this time of year?
Yeah, well, you know, it's normally, like, just give you a kind of benchmark, normal high for today is 50, and normal low is 32, and we're up in the low 60s right now. So definitely several degrees above normal. I just kind of was chuckling to myself. I was looking at the record high and low for the day here in Champaign-Urbana. The record high was 77. The record low was 1 degree. So this is the time of year where you can get either spring or you can get winter on any particular day. So it's get some pretty wild temperature swings.
Yeah,
there.
But speaking of which.
Yeah, but right now everything's looking pretty warm.
Yeah, right now everything's looking pretty warm. But I did see some snow in the forecast up in the farther northern reaches of the area?
That's right. If you get up in the northern part of Illinois, around Chicago especially, they're looking at rain tonight turning to snow on Saturday. Right now, the potential of 1 to 2 inches. But by Sunday, it'll get back up into the 40s. So it's not going to stick around too long. I don't think we'll be building snowmen out of it or anything. Here in central Illinois, it'll be just all rain. And you get into southern Illinois, it'd be even heavier rain. So the most rain will be falling in the southern part of the state, about 1 to 1.5 inches is the potential. Central Illinois, it's less than an inch, and you get up in northern Illinois, it's about a half an inch.
And Jim, have you given much thought to the heavy corn stalk coverage that's out there, just coverage on the ground, and how much longer it might take to warm up for soil temperatures and what all that means?
Yeah, we've got a lot of residue on the top. We also have very wet soils, and the wet soils will also slow things down. Right now, the soil temperatures, the swing from the high and low from the day, it ranges from about 40 to 44 degrees across the state for the low nighttime soil temperatures at 4 inches. They warm up a little bit during the day by about 6 to 8 degrees. So we're getting close to some soil temperatures that are creeping up into the 50s, especially in far southern Illinois. But yeah, you're right, with the wet soils and what have you, it is kind of slowing things down. So it's always going to lag behind the air temperatures.
Do we have much of an idea what evaporative rates might be?
You know, offhand, I'd say they're probably pretty low. We don't have any measurements going on right at the moment, so it's hard to say. But I do know that soil moisture at the beginning of winter was well above average, and now it's crept back towards near normal. So we are starting to recover a little bit from that wet year.
Jim, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Jim Angel is state climatologist. He's located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.